What's that?
I want you to move your finger.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. It's always great to be with you. And I know I say this every time I come, but it is from the bottom of my heart how much I appreciate your continued support and your continued interest in the work that we are doing in China. And it is always my pleasure on these Sunday evenings, and I get back from one of these trips, to come and talk a little bit about the trip and update you a little bit about some of the things that are going on. And as we did last time, I'm going to use part of the time to talk about China and then use part of the time to encourage you with a lesson. But once again, just let me tell you how much we appreciate your interest in the work and your willingness to help us with the things that we need to make those trips. As Barry said, we got back in October, as you see on the slide there, October, November, got back the middle of November. And Brother Rick Lanning from the Minneapolis area went with me in the fall trip. He's been doing that the last two or three years, traveling with me in the fall, and had some different ones traveling with me in the spring. And as Barry said, Brother Chuck Hester from Temple Terrace is going to be going with me. I've known Chuck for a number of years now, but have just over the last two or three years got to know him better. He was in Nebraska for a while when I was in Minnesota, and he used to bring his children to our Bible camp up in the Minneapolis area for a few years. And then he moved off somewhere else, and we moved down here, and I kind of lost track of him. And then they're in Temple Terrace now. They're dorm parents at the college. He and his wife are dorm parents at Florida College, and Chuck works a secular job, of course. And so they've been doing that. This is their second or third year at the college. And so I've renewed a friendship with Chuck and gotten to know him. We even play a little golf together. We don't play well, but we play and have some fun. And I've talked him into going with me for a couple of weeks. He'll be with me 2 weeks. His job only allows him to be gone for 2 weeks. I'm glad that he can be gone that long. He works for a brother in Christ, and that brother in Christ is interested in the work in China and has given him the time to go, and we're very appreciative of that. And so he will be going with me for part of the time this coming spring. Our trip this fall was very encouraging in a couple of different ways. One of the things that we have struggled with the work in China, is getting churches started. It's one thing to go and to meet people and to teach them and to baptize them into Christ. It's another thing to get them to understand the necessity of meeting together regularly. They're not used to doing that. And to add to the problem, in some places where we have gone and been invited to go to a certain place, and especially the first place I will show you, Chongqing, which is in northern China. We were invited to go there with the invitation of a family, a young lady that I met here in the States, who was a Christian, and she had invited us, wanted us to go to China and meet her family. And so we have been there several times, and we had gone there, and through studying, we had baptized 8 or 10 different individuals with studying with family members and different ones there in Chongqing. But without any leadership, they were not meeting together on a regular basis. Some would get together occasionally, but there was nothing regular going on. And so although there were baptized believers there, there was no regular attendance and a way to encourage each other and really worship God as they should. And so it's taken several years to finally get that started. And one of the most encouraging things that has happened is that is now happening with a group of the ladies in Chongqing. I finally convinced them, you don't need a man. If a man comes among you, of course, he's going to have to take the leadership. That's God's pattern. But you don't have to wait until a man is baptized. I think of the now 12 people who have been baptized in that city, 11 of them have been women. And the one man is an older gentleman who is no longer there. He's the father of one of the young one of the ladies, and he's now living in another city. So there are no baptized men that we have there, but we have several of the ladies who have been baptized, and we have four or five of them now meeting on a regular basis every Sunday. And so we're very pleased about that. And so we see that as just a beginning of things that are getting started there. So a couple of things like that have been very, very encouraging. In fact, three of the groups that we've been working with for some time are all meeting much better, much more regularly than they have ever before. And so that was a great encouragement on this trip. Well, we'll go through and talk about the highlights. Again, here's the different places. We really visited about seven different cities. We landed in Shanghai, and then immediately later that same afternoon flew up to Chongqing that I'll talk about and that I was just talking about. Then took a train down to Shenyang, and then a train to Tianjin. And then the distance from Tianjin to the southern part of the country, of course, we flew down to Nanning for a couple of days, and then to Guangzhou, and then about 6 days in Haikou before heading back to Shanghai and heading home. So that was the tour that we took, and we're planning on about the same routine. Normally, in the fall, as I was, I start in the north before it gets too cold and then go south. And then in the spring, I go to the south first and let it warm up in the north a little bit before I head up to Chongqing. Going to Chongqing is about like going to central to northern part of Minnesota, so it can be cold in April. But I've about decided I'm going to start there for a couple of different reasons, so I'm not really looking forward to the weather there in April, but I'm looking forward to going back and encouraging the brethren there. So we'll start with Chongqing, and as we said, that was the first place that Rick and I went. It is a population of about 8 million people, so it's a very, very large city. It's an industrial city, a lot of industry there. Isabella and Esther were baptized while we were there, and now there are four women that are meeting on a very regular basis. And the state church group has disbanded. You may remember from some of our other, and there's a map how far north it is there in northeast China. And there's Esther and there is Yin. Yin is the family member that I mentioned to you is where we got started with this whole thing. Her sister was in America, and Yin had come to America to visit her sister. And it was, you may remember that long story, but Yin was baptized while she was visiting her sister in Lakeland. Her sister now lives in Tampa. But Yin was baptized while she was visiting her sister and having studied with me. She was baptized while she was at Lakeland the month that she was in America, and then she went home. And then I went to their hometown to visit her and to encourage her and any family members and friends, and so we've been going ever since. Here are the five ladies. There's five ladies. The one in the very middle is Kathleen. On the far right is Wendy, and then there's Yin again. I don't know what they were doing with their fingers. Don't ask me what they were doing there, but they were all doing the same thing. And it looked like they're clicking their thumbs or clicking their fingers, doesn't it? But I'm not sure what that was about. And then Isabella and Esther. And so Yin was the first one baptized, and then Yin brought Kathleen, the one in the middle, and Kathleen was baptized. She was really more of a friend of her husband's from work than she was of Kathleen, but she's a good, I mean, of Yin, but she's a good friend of Yin as well. And I'm hoping she will also be more regular in meeting with them, although she hasn't yet so far. The one on the right, Wendy, was also a friend of Yin's. And then Isabella on the left, second from the left, is a friend of Wendy's. So as often happens here, it happens there. One friend leads to another friend, leads to another friend. And then Esther was out of the state church group. I mentioned them already that that group is now disbanded, so let me explain that just quickly. That there is in each city and in multiple churches in a city, there are the state church. The state, the government allows a church to exist. It's run by the government, sanctioned by the government, approved by the government. The pastors are chosen by the government, and it is just a hodgepodge of denominations and a very weak, watered-down preaching, and has to do what the government tells it to do. And so there was several years ago, I had a contact. I'll show you again his picture in a moment, Peter. And it was through a friend of a friend contact, and he was the leader of an English-speaking Bible study group in the state church. They met in the afternoons, on Sunday afternoons. And they all spoke English, and they enjoyed studying the Bible together in English, and they would attend the morning services at the state church, but then in the afternoon they would meet for a little worship service and Bible study in English. And so when I came there and he met me, he asked me to speak with their group, and I did. And so I got to know them, and so that's how that got started. And ever since then, I've been studying with different ones of them. And I have all their contact information now. When I get to town, I tell them I'm there. We don't meet at the state church building. They come to the hotel, and we study at the hotel. Anyway, Esther was one of the first ones I met in that group. And she is just a sponge. I mean, she just loves to study, and she just reads her Bible over and over again and studies. When I first met her, she was just getting into Bible study, and I'm not sure what got her started, but she got started in a big way. And when I first met her and talked with her, there were many stories she did not know. She was just starting. Now you cannot mention a story, and she can finish it for you. I don't care if you're in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. She has read and studied and studied and studied. And so I've been working with her and others in that state church group. Well, you may have heard over the last couple of years that they're starting to tighten up things in China, and there's several things that they've done to tighten it up. One thing they did there was this Sunday afternoon worship service in English has been disbanded. They have told them they cannot do that anymore. I don't know why. My guess is that it's anything like that, that they don't have full control over, they don't like. And so the local church pastors have, under pressure from the government, you know, just offered the Sunday morning services, but anything beyond that is not permitted unless they are overseeing it themselves. And this cutout group, this separate group, was overseen by just some of the members, and they don't like that. They want to make sure they have total control and have their finger in everything. And so they've disbanded that group. And that may be an advantage to us, since we know these young people now, and they don't have that association together anymore. It may help us to open some of their eyes. We'll see. Time will tell about that. Anyway, Esther is a very good student. And finally, after several visits, she was baptized. She had been sprinkled before, but she saw the need of being baptized. She continued to study with me on a number of subjects. She traveled with Rick and I this time. Her English is very good, and so she makes a good translator. And so I told her, and she's really the one, I knew that she was a leadership-type person. And she understands when someone who is a male becomes a Christian and can leave the group, that will need to happen. But for right now, I put the bug in her ear and said, you need to get these ladies together. And I said, in the absence of any men, you can get together and you can worship and you can have the Lord's Supper and you can sing and you can pray, and you need to be doing that. You are a Christian. And so she's doing that. And she is taking the lead. And as providence would have it, I started to say as luck would have it, but as providence, God's providence would have it, Isabella, the one that was also baptized on this trip, she now has an empty house. Unfortunately for her, she lost her husband to death about 5 years ago. But since that time, she has moved in with her daughter to help take care of the grandchildren when her daughter is at work, and that's a thing that often happens in Chinese culture. And so her house has been sitting empty, and so when the lady started talking about this, Isabella said, we can meet at my house, it's empty. And so they're meeting in the empty house, still has furniture in it from when she was there. And so they're now meeting in Isabella's house. They could have met in one of their houses too, but it's a convenient place for all of them. And so that's the new group that's been started in Chung Chuen. And Esther is organizing them, and she's getting them together on Sundays, and they're meeting at Isabella's, and on Tuesday evening they're having a Bible study over WeChat together. And so we might call that their midweek, I guess. They're having a Bible study on Tuesday evening together on the phone. So I'm very proud of them, very pleased with what's going on there. There's Peter that I mentioned in Haku, and they're both former members of that state church group, the English-speaking state church group. And so we'll just keep working with them as we have opportunity as well. And then there was some others. Here is Lydia. Same thing is true. She came and studied with us several times. She is a part of that English-speaking state church group that we met. And the same with the two in the middle there. David and Jessica just got married last year, and they came a night or two to study with us. And so those are all continued contacts and possibilities, hopefully, that will be added to the Lord's group there in the time to come. Well, after about 6 days in Chung Chuen, we rolled out of there. There's Rick and Esther at the train station and a rail station in Chung Chuen. We were headed south, and then we went to Shenyang. And Shenyang is another large city in the northeast, about 170 miles southwest of Chung Chuen. You heard me mention last time I was here, Minghui and Shin. Minghui is now teaching math, calculus, trig, all those things that I can't even pronounce them, much less know what they're about. But he's teaching that at Florida College, and Shin is his wife, and Mrs. Du is her mother. Du is the family name, and she is a Baptist background, and she has not been baptized for the remission of her sins, but she studies with us, and she's very interested and very pleased to have us come, and when we come to town. And so we spend a lot of time with Mrs. Du, and she studies with me on the internet. I have classes still. My ongoing China classes during the week right now are Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and Friday morning. And so I have an hour and a half classes, four mornings a week with China students, and she's in two or three of those. She just is also getting to be a sponge, so she just loves to study and loves to listen. And so that's encouraging. Eric is an American from Tianjin. I'll show you more of his picture in a minute. But he's an American. Eric and his wife are from a more liberal background than we are, but they are very fine young people. He has good Bible knowledge, and some of the brethren got in contact with him. He's living there now, and so he's together with some of the brethren at Tianjin, and he's encouraging them to do more than they can do. I don't mean more than they can do, but do more and to expand what they can do. And although he's at Tianjin, he took the train with one of the other brothers. He wanted the other brothers to see what evangelism is like and what we were doing in different cities. And so they came up and met us and spent some time with us. And so they were there for a couple of days. And so more and more teaching opportunities there. There's some of Shin's family. I won't go through all of them for time. I'm already running out of my time. But there's some of Shin's family, and there's Esther with us and Rick in the middle. And this is a pastor of a house church. The young man in the blue jacket there is the pastor of this house church. This is the second time we've had some contact with them. So we had dinner with them, lunch with them one day. And then following that, they took us on a long drive. I thought we were never going to get there. They took us to the business address of one of the members of that house church. And I think we drove halfway to Beijing or somewhere, but we were in the car for a good hour before we got there. But anyway, we met there, and some others came over to meet us, and so we had more opportunities to study with them. And so, obviously, those are the kind of things that you're looking for, and hopefully will continue. Well, we said goodbye to Mrs. Du. She had to return to Shenyang. Rick and Esther and I think I missed something here, but we'll see. No, here's Fu Shun. I think that slides out of place. It doesn't matter. We went to Fushun for a couple days. There's a couple young ladies there. I'll hasten through this. We go there to encourage them. Wendy and Wong Chow are their names. They're kind of there by themselves, and they're one of the groups we've encouraged, just a little group of two. But they haven't gotten together on a regular basis like they should. So we're still trying to encourage them to do that. So we still go there and visit with them for a few days on every trip. And so there's Wendy next to Rick there. There's the young American that I was telling you about in the middle, Eric. And then on the left-hand side, far left, is Gao Tong, one of the members at Fushun. He's the one that had come up with Eric to spend some time with us there. There's Wendy and just a typical study, sitting around a hotel room, studying and reading and discussing scripture together. I had a story about them, but I'm going to skip that for time. Tianjin, we took a train to Tianjin. That other picture I showed you should have been in here. We had to say goodbye to Mrs. Du. She was headed back home, and Esther went on with us to Tianjin and translated for us there. So here's some of the group at Tianjin. There is Eric and his little boy. And now they have a little, I think it's a little girl. I forget. I need to have my wife with me on these trips so she can remember these important. She would never forget if it was a boy or a girl. I always forget those things. But that's his wife in the background there. Look, the American-looking young lady with holding the second child. And she has had two children, both of them in China. Can you believe that, ladies? And so they've had two births with no problem whatsoever. You may remember Mark. He finally joined us there, and he's on the left. And then Gao Tong and Ruth in the middle. And then Mei Song is there, kind of in front of Rick in the tan-colored jacket. And, of course, Esther on the end. And there's Mei Shan there, and she's a very sweet lady. She's the one I told you about last time. And she has been such a sponge, and she has been out there kind of by herself and not really connected to anyone. And somehow, Erica, one of the members, met her. And once we began to study with her, I mean, she had figured out so much stuff. And was just right down the line on Bible authority and the Lord's church and what the church should do and what the church shouldn't do. It's amazing how much she had figured out by herself. I guess it shouldn't amaze us. We just take the Bible and read the Bible. We say we can do that, and yet sometimes we're amazed when people actually do it. But she's now joined in with the group there at Tianjin, and they are meeting regularly with the encouragement of Rachel and Eric, the Americans, encourage them to do better about getting together and worshiping. And so we're very pleased. That's her apartment complex there and her home and some of the studies that we had there. Rick is teaching there in the circle of people. And then we flew to Nanning, Nanning is the place where Mark has been living, if you remember Mark. And Mark has been there for several years now, and there's been some Americans that were there. That's the place where I told you about that one of the churches in Bowling Green, the Lost River Congregation in Bowling Green, had targeted that city and sent some Americans there. And so there were six Americans there, two couples and then two single individuals. And they are all gone home now. Some of them have been there 2.5 years, some 2 years, one about a year and a half. But there's a picture, the same picture I showed you last spring, and there's some of the same ones with a few added to them this fall. The two married couples that have the children have been there. I think Josh and Emily have been there over 2 years, and the couple on the right are about to have another baby, and they have been there almost 2 years, and so they've done great work there. But it was time for them to come home, and I think as of Christmas Day or a day or two after Christmas, all of them are now back in the States. But during that time that they were there, and with Mark and Francisco's help, there's a new congregation there, and that's great encouragement, a Chinese group. And so for the last year and a half, They've had the two groups. They started with just the Americans going there, and then through their work and Mark's work and Francisco, another Chinese gentleman that has moved there to help, that was from Dalian. They've some others have been baptized, and they have a group now of about 10 to 12 that meet regularly every Sunday. And so that's another great encouragement in our. I've had very little to do with that group. Of course, I have little to do with nothing. I mean, God's the one that does all this, not me. I have some stories, but I'm not going to tell them right now. But here's a group. The Sunday we were there with them, this is the Chinese service, the Chinese-speaking service, that has got started in Nanning with the encouragement and help of the Americans that were there. The Americans are now gone, but the Chinese are holding on themselves and doing well. And so we were glad to report and glad to see that. They had about 10 there that Sunday. Chase and his wife and kids, two kids, were usually attend that service too, just to encourage and help them. Of course, they will be gone now, but the others are there. From there, we flew to Guangzhou. And we spent just a couple days in Guangzhou. Guangzhou is down near Hong Kong. You see there on the map, I think this thing has a pointer. Does it work? And so there's Hong Kong, and there's Guangzhou. And this area here is called the Pearl River Delta Valley. Guangzhou is 13 million people. Hong Kong is 6 million people. Shenzhen is 10 million people. All of these cities around this delta area, it's 50 million people living there. It's unbelievable. And this little peninsula down here, I show you this because I'll show you a picture quickly of a couple that we met. Now, they are not New Testament Christians that I know of. They're just friends of some of the Christians. So I don't know their background. I don't know what their beliefs are. But she and her husband are from this little peninsula. Now, if the map continued, Haikou, the island we go to, is just down here. There's just about 20 miles between the tip of this peninsula and Hainan Island. But they are from this peninsula, and they want us to go there with them and teach the gospel to their family in some of the villages in that peninsula. So we will see if I have the courage to go or not. It'll be different. But we'll see if they really, you know, people sometimes say, we want you to do this, and then they never mention it again. We'll see what happens. But anyway, that's kind of exciting to think about. But that's where Guangzhou is a huge city, and Mr. Zong and his wife are there. He is the one I've talked about with you before. And he has come a long way in his studies. Also, we met there. James, the young man there at the table with Rick, is a translator, a Christian that we knew many years ago, and I haven't seen him in a number of years. He's worked with others, but not with me. And so it was nice to see him again and visit with him. Here's the young couple there on the left, to the left of, on the left side of the picture. And she wants us to go to her village there on the peninsula, and so we will see if that happens or can happen or not. And finally, Haikou. Won't spend much time here, but you may have, I mentioned before, Nancy Tumlinson, who is from Houston, and she has spent 2 years now in Hainan Island. She works, this is the city of Haikou, is where the Christians are. She works about an hour south by high-speed train, so every Sunday she comes up and encourages the Christians to get together. And we've had several there, but sadly, again, they haven't been in the habit of getting together. And yet Nancy has done a wonderful, wonderful thing by being there. When first she asked me 2 years ago, she said, I'm thinking about going to Hainan Island. She told me where she was thinking about going to teach. She said, are there any Christians there? And I said, well, yeah, let me tell you. It's a little discouraging, but this is what's going on. And I told her, there's some there, but they're not meeting very well. But you could be a great encouragement to them. And she took the bull by the horns, and she took the job, and she went there. And every week she just gets on that train, and she goes up to Haikou. But before she goes, of course, she says, she very nicely just emails some of the young ladies and says, I'm coming. Where are we getting together? And so they get together. And that she's gotten in the habit of just knowing she's going to be there on Sunday. She's going to be there and she wants to meet with Christians and worship God and have the Lord's Supper. And her encouragement just to call every week and say, I'm coming, where are we going to meet? I'm coming, where are we going to meet? And now they're meeting regularly. And they even meet when she's not there. And so she's to be praised for the faith that she's shown and the leadership that she's shown, even though leadership not in the sense of publicly teaching and preaching. The men do that. Now, when it's just the ladies, they share the teaching. But she's had the faith to step up and encourage them. So, anyway, that's some of the ones there. There's Allie. I've shown you her picture before. And Kathy. And another group picture. And so, Vivian is a friend and a contact. And I don't have time for all these stories. But, anyway, that's a little bit. That's a little bit of catch-up. We made a quick stop on the way back to Shanghai at Hangzhou, and there's a young man there from South Africa who is a Christian, who was baptized by Brother Williams. Many of you may know Brother Williams, who has spent his life in South Africa preaching and teaching, and that young man was practically raised by the Williams family in South Africa. He's about to get married, and there's no jobs in South Africa. Their economy is in shambles and terrible. And he graduated from the university with a teaching degree and could not get a job. And so he heard there were jobs teaching in China, so he went to China to save money so he could get married. And he's there without any other Christians, so we went there for a couple days just to spend some time with him and encourage him. His name's Sabu, and his name's about this long, but he goes by Sabu, and so that's what we call him. And that's in the background there. That's the English-speaking school where he teaches. Okay, that is it. Happy to answer any more questions that you have about the work in China. And thank you again. Thank you for your support and your help. And as we said, we're happy to answer whatever questions you may have. Well, let me end with just a few minutes of a Bible study this evening. At home for the last month, and I'm really making it made an announcement to the brethren. I'm kind of planning on just kind of focusing this year, in the calendar year 2020, kind of on the theme of walking closer to God. Striving as we can as God's people to get closer and closer to Him in our lives. And of course, that's a wide open subject, and there's a lot of different ways we can approach that and we can look at that. But this is a lesson I did last week, and I'll just hit a few points of the highlights of it to give you a flavor of it, because it is important for us to get closer to God, and one of the keys to getting closer to God is putting away sin in our lives. What a wonderful blessing it is for us to be Christians. And through the waters of baptism, our sins have been washed away, and we've been raised to walk a new life in Christ Jesus. But we all understand that just because we have been baptized, just because we've made that commitment and we've decided we want to be a follower of Jesus, that doesn't mean the problem of sin is over. We're naive to think that suddenly because I become a Christian that suddenly sin's not going to be a temptation to me, or some of the things of the flesh I struggled with before, or some of those words I used to say before that just kind of magically they're going to disappear and I'm not going to have a problem anymore. We know it doesn't work that way. And so we continue to have the struggle, the problem of sin in our lives, and Paul talks about that in some detail in the book of Romans. And this just outlines a little bit of Romans. All have sinned, but Jesus is the solution to the problem of sin. It's through Jesus that we can have forgiveness. It's through Jesus that we can be justified by faith in His blood, as Paul talks about in those early chapters. And then he goes on in chapter 6 to encourage us not to allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies. But still, we struggle with sin. And in chapter 7 in particular, Paul talks about the struggle of sin. And he says things like, "For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." And he says, "For the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I practice." And he said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death?" And then, of course, he says, "Thanks be to God that we can have the deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ." But Paul says some things in this chapter that we can all see and understand. We can all understand there are times when I know I should do better, but I don't. And there are times when I shouldn't do things, and I go ahead and do them. And then I feel guilty, and I feel bad, and I go to my knees again to ask God to forgive me. But it just simply reminds us that the struggle of sin is not over. That we continue to need help and growth and maturity to overcome the sin in our lives. So if we're going to maintain a closer walk with God in this year or any year, we need to deal with the problem of sin. And of course, we could spend a lot of time talking about all these points, but I'll just make a point or two. These are the 5 points I talked about with our group last Sunday: planting God's Word in our hearts, delighting in God's Word, making righteousness a priority, limiting opportunities to sin, exercising self-control in my life. Let's talk for a moment about overcoming sin by treasuring God's Word in our hearts. It is my fear that we don't do this as well as we should. We get so preoccupied with the things of this world. We don't study and we don't pray and we don't meditate like maybe we should. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That Hebrew word, "laid up in my heart." The ESV says to store up. The New American Standard says treasured. The NIV says hidden. The NCV says taken your word to heart. Your word have I laid up in my heart. There's a secret to overcoming sin in our lives. And that is to treasure up God's word. To take God's word and to hide it. To store it up, to place it there so that we can remember it and that it can help us to overcome the temptations that we face. Again, the book of Psalm 37, verse 31, "The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide." The law of God is in his heart. God's law helps us. It helps to keep us from sliding. I've used this illustration before. A couple of years ago, I was in one city in China, and there was an area that was shady, apparently, in this neighborhood, shady almost all the time in southern China. And there was just green mold or green, what would that be, algae or whatever on the sidewalk there. And there was a little bit of an incline going down to where we were going, and you had to work really hard not to fall. I mean, it was kind of treacherous. And you've been in situations like that, whether something like that or mud or ice and snow in the wintertime up north. But the writer says the law of God is in his heart. The one who has the law of God in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Your feet are on solid ground. Your Christian walk is on solid ground. If you'll take God's word in your heart, it'll keep you from sliding. It'll keep you from sinning. In Colossians of the New Testament, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let God's word dwell in your hearts. The second point we made was delighting in God's word. Delighting in God's word. We need to treasure up God's word by study and by meditating and by storing it there. Because as I was studying this lesson, it just kind of hit me, this idea of delighting in something. What do you delight in? What does the word delight mean? Well, an English dictionary definition just means delight is a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment, joy, rapture. A high degree of pleasure. We understand what it means to delight in something. There are things you delight in. There are things you really enjoy. I delight in my grandchildren. I'm like the guy who said, you know, if I'd have known grandchildren were so much fun, I would have had them first instead of second. Well, that's an old joke, but, you know, we enjoy our grandchildren. We delight in them. We love them. Maybe it's some food you delight in. You love. I can tell you what I love. I love homemade ice cream. I love chocolate chip cookies. I love almost anything sweet. There's things we delight in. Our mouth starts to water as soon as we think about them. Maybe you're a football fan, and I'm talking too long because there's two games on tonight. And you just can't wait to get on to see home to see who's ahead. Because you delight in football. You know all about it. You know the strategy. You know the players. And you just can't wait to get out of here. And I'm not going to talk but another hour and a half, so don't worry about it. What do you delight in? What makes you smile? Well, a lot of things can. But God's Word is to make us delight. We should have that kind of feeling about it. The study of it, the hearing of it. To delight in hearing God's message. The speaker may be as boring as dry toast. But if we delight in the law of God, if we love His law, it doesn't matter how good or how poor the presenter is, we should delight in listening to it and hearing it and hearing someone talk about it. And so they're in Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is man that walks not. You know the verse. It starts the book of Psalms. Blessed is man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Get your concordance out and see how often the word delight is used of Scripture in the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Psalms 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, my God, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. David delighted in doing God's will. Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. 19:24, thy testimonies also are my delight. Over and over again. That's not all of them. There's a bunch more. Where it talks about delighting in God's law and his precepts and obeying God. What do you delight in? We've already asked that question. What makes you happy? What fills you with joy? Do you delight in the study of God's word? Do you delight in hearing God's word? Are you like David who said that he was glad when they say, let us go up to the house of the Lord? Well, thirdly of all, make righteousness a priority. We're not going to have time to finish the lesson, but you know the points. Make righteousness a priority. Jesus said, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek ye first. Sometimes we use the word first in the sense of the order of things, like as in our grandson Judah is here. He's not first. He's number two grandchild, number two grandson. His older brother is the first grandchild. And their mother is the first of our children, first in order of time. But sometimes we use the word first in the sense of importance and priority and rank. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Seek ye first. Make it a priority. Make it important to you. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek Jehovah while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. The passage that was read before us earlier, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This passage is not promising us. It's been misused by many, especially in the denominational world. This passage is not promising that God will just give you anything you ask for. In particular, I believe the passage here, this passage is in the third chapter of the three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has said some hard things in this lesson. Jesus has said some things like, turn the other cheek. If someone smites you on the one cheek, you turn the other also. And he said, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Now, that's not easy. That's easy to say. Oh, I can say the words, love your enemies. Oh, that's easy to say. It's not easy to do. When someone mistreats you and hates you and gossips about you and talks about you. And I think, you study the sermon and see what you think. I think maybe what Jesus is saying here is, after all the hard things he has said, some of them may have been saying, how can anyone do this? How can anyone live like this? You've been talking about righteousness, Lord, and you told us all these. It sounds impossible to me. And what does Jesus say? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Does God help us accomplish His will? Can we overcome the sin in our lives? Can we overcome the anger in our heart? Can we overcome the lust? Can we overcome the bitterness? Can we overcome the lack of contentment? Can we overcome the things that get us down? Can we learn to love our neighbors and our enemies? Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. He's not talking about giving a carte blanche. You can have anything you want in prayer. That's not what he's talking about. He is saying you can achieve the righteousness that God wants you to have in your life if you will seek and you will put Him first, as he said in 6:33. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all this will be added to you. Well, we need to make righteousness a priority. Well, we had a couple of the points, but we're going to stop. We're going to stop there. It's almost 6 o'clock. And I'll give this to Barry and he can finish it sometime. And do a better job than I can. Let's live for Jesus. Let's live for Jesus. Let's delight in His Word. Let's make righteousness a priority in our lives. And let us use these methods to draw closer to God. Each and every day. If you're not a Christian, you need to be. Remember little David? Little David walked out into that valley and there was Goliath. Goliath had all that armor on. And he had this huge spear. And David walked out with 5 little stones in a sling. The kid must have been crazy. Must have been crazy. Who thinks that he can defeat the champion of the Philistines, who's got all this armor on, who's 9 foot tall? He probably weighed 400 pounds if he was 9 foot tall. And champion, some of these football players almost weigh that much, and they're not 9 feet tall. He may have weighed 500 pounds. I don't know. And David walks out there without a sword and without a spear and without a shield, without a helmet. And he said, I'll fight the Philistine. And all the time, Saul's out in his tent, scared to death to come out. And we'd say, it's impossible. That kid's going to be, he's going to be, well, like Goliath said, I'm going to feed you to the birds and to the beasts of the field. It didn't happen that way, did it? Why? Why? Well, you know why. Because he trusted in God. Can we overcome sin in our lives? Can we overcome the challenges that we face? Can we get rid of the stuff in our lives that drags us down and keeps us from being what God wants us to be? If David can take down Goliath, the lesson there is, yes, with God's help, we can do it. We can do it. If you need to obey Him tonight and start that road, we hope you'll do that. While together we stand and while we sing.
I gave my body for thee, my precious.